first down. Ponder back to pass. Niners rush nicely. He picks it up. Sprints up the middle. Inside the 15. To the goal line. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. Presented by Sports Authority. On the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Winter Park in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. This is where the first place Minnesota Vikings prepare for games. And this weekend, we have the Detroit Lions, the kickoff from Ford Field shortly after noon with Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. I'm Paul Allen. Coming up later, offensive line coach Jeff Davidson and defensive tackle Kevin Williams, along with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. He'll provide the opposition update. Congratulations on the victory against San Francisco. I know you have the 24-hour rule, but you can smell the roses for a second. That's a very good team that you beat.
It's a very good football team. There's no question that they'll be playing, you know, deep into the playoffs, and just a great job by our players.
One of the themes that I've used this week in preparing for the Lions and looking back at the 49ers is you guys are, I don't want to say a run-first team because you're throwing the ball okay too, but clearly in that game against the 49ers, you almost go for 150 against a rushing defense that had only given up 75 yards per game since the beginning of 2011. Mm-hmm. So you look at the division, Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit, a lot of shotgun, a lot of five wide, a lot of empty. And here you come with a couple of tight ends, line up the I formation if you need it. Yeah, we run the ball and we're proud of it. So you, in essence, are kind of the final black and blue team in the black and blue division.
No question about it. We kind of take pride in that, Paul. Bill Musgrave, our offensive coordinator, had talked to our offense about just that on Saturday night, about the fact that we are the last team in our division that will line up and hand the ball off to a running back without spreading out and doing all the other things that people are doing in our division. And it's been good for us. We feel good about the fact that we have the best running back in the National Football League, and we believe we know how to stop the run on defense as well. So it's a formula we believe is going to be successful for us.
It doesn't bug Litchfield native John Carlson that he doesn't have a catch yet, does it? I mean, he's the ultimate team guy, and I can see in watching back the 49ers game, you had a couple of things in there, including Kyle Rudolph's first touchdown. Carlson was trailing right behind him, but it's more difficult for Christian to throw to a man than a spot like he did back left of the end zone. But how's John handling everything?
Oh, John is a pro. I mean, he's a team guy, as you mentioned, and he wants nothing more than to see the Minnesota Vikings be successful. And that's, I mean, those are the kind of guys you want on your team. Now, we want to be able to get the football to him, but at the end of the day, he wants to know that the Minnesota Vikings won.
Off the victory against San Francisco, now with your first division game, you got the Lions this weekend. How have they gone for you this week? Are they focused, energetic? What have you noticed about practice through 2 days?
We've had good practices. The guys are really in tune in what we're trying to get done. We're throwing some things at them and trying to push them as much as we can as a staff and get them ready for what's going to be a tough ball game on the road in Detroit. But they've handled things well.
Are divisional games easier to play from a coaching standpoint and a playing standpoint than a couple of AFC teams or an NFC West team?
I don't know if they're easier. I mean, there are no easy games in the NFL. You know, it's just the familiarity is there because of the fact that you play one another twice a year, and there's a carryover there. But I don't think it's any easier, AFC or NFC.
Well, you being former defensive coordinator here than head coach, for instance, when you see Dominic Raiola, the center you've seen a million times, you've seen so many players so frequently.
Yes.
When you get into the tape for the first time, do you look for things with individuals you've seen over the years and to see if they still do it that way?
Yeah, we do. You know, we try to find out if a guy's beginning to slip a little bit and some of the things that he's been good at in the past, and you try to see if there are any wrinkles that they've added to what they've done from the last time that you played them. So, yeah, we'll look at everything with a fine-tooth comb and try to figure out what kind of changes have they made.
Excellent game against San Francisco for many, including Chad Greenway, had a couple of sacks. Very good recognition game for Chad. Mm-hmm. Had all those tackles. He leads you now. What impressed you most about Chad's game against the Niners?
Well, the number of big plays that he made. I mean, there were so many splash plays that really got our fans into the game, got our players into it. I mean, 13 tackles, a couple of sacks. I mean, they were big plays. And the energy that he brought to the game was what we needed. And he's one of our leaders, so it was big to see.
No practice again today for Aaron Henderson. What's going on with the concussion that he suffered in the Indianapolis game?
Well, as you know, in our league today, when you're dealing with concussions, you have to be cautious in your approach. And that's exactly where we are right now. We want to make sure that once he's back on the field, that the risk is less. So we have to kind of take it slow, and hopefully we'll get him back here soon.
Marvin Mitchell, the former Dolphin, the former Saint, recovered a Jamarcus Sanford fumble. Three tackles at the end of the day. How did he do?
He played well. You know, you like to see guys who haven't had a lot of playing time step up when they get an opportunity, and that's exactly what he did. As you know, he had been injured throughout the early part of the regular season when it happened right at the end of the preseason. So yeah, for him to come in and play as well as he did, I mean, that speaks volumes for Marvin.
Leslie Frazier, I'm Paul Allen. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. Let's take a look at some of the rookies. Harrison Smith, 9 tackles in each of the last 2 games. How's he playing?
He's playing extremely well. Doesn't look like a rookie out there. He's really beginning to find his groove, which is good for our defense, good for our team. The game is not too big for him. It's not too fast for him. He's fitting in very well.
Given his skill set, are you able to open up things defensively from the safety spot that maybe previously you couldn't?
You know, we're able to do some things with him because of the trust factor. You just know he's going to be where he's supposed to be. And if there's a play to be made by the safety at his position, he's going to make that play.
Is this a week with Calvin Johnson potentially coming from the slot every so often, and Calvin Johnson all over the place, is this a great test for Harrison and now Jamarcus Sanford just to see what their coverage skills are like on deep plays?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, we'll be tested down the field with Calvin Johnson, and they'll do some things with Nate Burleson as well and Titus Young. So we'll get tested, and which is good. We need that at this point of the season.
I'm going to ask offensive line coach Jeff Davidson this later, but Matt Khalil through 3, is he at the stage where you can look at Kyle Vandenbosch, a right defensive end du jour, and say, okay, Matt, that's your guy?
You know, he's pretty close to being at that point. I mean, there are times in the game this past week we left him alone with Justin Smith, who's a very good pass rusher, also with Alden Smith. We're going to do it at times in this ball game with Kyle Vandenbosch. So we have a lot of confidence in Matt. He's making great progress, and there are going to be times where he's going to be one-on-one.
When we chatted in the preseason about rookie Blair Walsh, you talked about the fact that 56 to 59-yard field goals now have merit, where if you get stopped, we don't have to think about taking a 5-yard penalty to try to pooch it in there or whatever. And he's 7 for 7. So from Blair Walsh's standpoint, what would you like to see to improve in game number 4? What needs to improve? Kickoffs, field goals, anything?
Well, he's doing a very good job on kickoffs. He's doing an excellent job with his field goals and extra points. So probably, you know, just continue to make improvement in those areas. I mean, you never want to get complacent or satisfied.
Yep.
There's some things we can do a little bit better maybe on kickoff. But, I mean, there are no complaints with what he's done up to this point.
What about Josh Robinson, rookie Central Florida, gets that interception outside of the splashy moment? Do you see him improving?
I really do. The more opportunities he gets, Paul, to play, the better he seems to get. So we're going to keep pushing him out there, keep giving him opportunities. There are some moments where it gets a little tense. You know, man, Josh, what were you looking at on that play? But,
yeah,
you know, you're going to have some of that as a rookie playing corner in the National Football League. But all in all, he's doing a very good job.
When Reggie Wayne got you for 20 in overtime, paving the way for Vinatieri, Josh Robinson was trailing him on that play.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when Josh sees that, did you see improvement from that moment to the next week where clearly you can get with Joe Woods, the DB's coach, and say, okay, Josh is learning?
Right. Oh, yeah, no doubt. We looked at that tape. We talked through some things that we think will help him going forward. And as I mentioned, there are going to be moments where that may occur. You just hope that they don't occur in crucial moments. But he's getting better. The more he sees things, the better he gets.
Fellow rookie Red Ellison doesn't show up in the box score for a lot of catches or rushes or touchdowns or anything. But from what I understand, he assisted in doing a pretty good job against Justin Smith for the 49ers, that outstanding defensive lineman. Is that correct?
Yeah, Red is one of those guys who is a tough, hard-nosed player. Paul, one of the things you like about him, he doesn't back down from any challenge. I mean, he's one of those guys who wants to mix it up on every play. So we have complete confidence when we put him back in the backfield to lead as a fullback, or we say go help Chip on an excellent defensive end like we will sometimes this weekend. So he's one of those guys you can count on to be a tough, hard-nosed guy and make plays when he has an opportunity.
Veteran receiver Jerome Simpson makes his debut this week. A lot of people want to talk about that because they, you know, they've seen the somersault and everything. But rookie receiver Jarius Wright, is he any closer to playing this weekend, having not played the first 3?
He's getting closer. He's had a good week of practice. Last week we were a little concerned with where he was with his ankle, but this week I think he's just about there.
The addressing of the team by Antoine Winfield last week, now that you've absorbed everything and watched it back, specifically with some things he said to some individuals, do you think that made a difference into the 49ers game?
Well, I think anytime one of your veteran players speaks to the team, I think it's a plus. You know, Michael Jenkins has done it. Brian Robinson has done it. Jared has done it at different times. So I think that's a plus. I know as a former player, when some of the vets would stand up and talk to the team, I listened. It had an impact on me because I know that they had been through some of the things I was about to go through. So, I think it had an impact.
That was Christian Ponder's best game as a pro, wasn't it?
Oh, without question. I mean, he was so efficient with the football, being able to command and lead our offense the way he did, and make the plays that he made, both throwing the ball as well as with his feet. I mean, that touchdown run he had, that was a great situation for us. For him to be able to recognize everything is covered and then to make the decision, I'm going to take off and then put it in the end zone.
First time in his career he wasn't sacked. Can you put Christian on 7-step drops and feel good about it with the reconfigured offensive line?
I think so. Part of it being his maturation at the position. He's gotten to the point now where if things aren't there, he knows exactly where to go with the football. And he knows when to get it out of his hands and get it out of bounds. So, yeah, I think we're at that point. We could trust him in that situation.
Jerome Simpson, the free agent signing in the offseason. The suspension is done. How does he help? Not necessarily with the offense overall, but the players around him. Because Percy Harvin, I mean, it's been established now. Percy Harvin, Kyle Rudolph, Adrian Peterson. They're legitimate big-time threats on which you have to focus. And now you put 4-3 outside the numbers.
Well, what Jerome will bring is that vertical threat. You know, all the guys you just mentioned, they have made a number of plays for us this season. But we haven't had a lot of plays over the top of the defense. And so having Jerome, he's going to make people think twice about just single coverage on the outside and putting eight guys in a box and doubling Percy as much as we get Percy doubled. So that will be an added dimension to our offense, and we hope to be able to utilize them in this ball game this weekend.
A couple of quickies to close for Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live. Adrian Peterson, the majority of his runs we have seen have been between tackles between the tackles through three games. If Adrian were to get wide and get loose, is he capable at this stage of running away from players like he used to be?
You know, he's very close to being at that point. He's had a couple breakout runs and just a step or two away from, you know, getting behind people in the secondary. So he's very close to being able to do that.
What went so wrong for Detroit at Tennessee? They lose in overtime. You had a controversial spot by the replacement officials. We know all that. But overall, what went so wrong for them?
Well, when you give up 14 points on special teams, I don't care who you are. I mean, that's a tough deal to overcome.
Darius Reynard.
Yeah, Darius Reynard, one of our former players. So that's tough to overcome. They've got a high-scoring offense. They average close to 30 points a game, so they can score with anybody. But when you give up plays like that, it makes it tough for your team.
Which quarterback do you expect to see?
I would expect Matthew Stafford. If he's able to walk and get out of the bed, I would expect him to play in this game.
Does Chris Cook get Calvin Johnson, or is it a combo platter?
We'll mix it up. You know, we're going to find some times where Chris is matched up on, and there are going to be other times where we'll be doing other things.
They've given up nearly 32 points a game over their last 12 games, including the playoff game and the three this season. Sounds like, is it 30-plus for your offense this weekend?
We love to see that, no question about it. But, you know, it's a divisional game. You know, it's always tough to score points in these type of games.
And you're on the road.
And we're on the road, so as long as the Vikings win, whether it's 1 point, 2 points, whatever, we'll be happy.
And I'd like to say you need a fast start, but in the Indianapolis game, the offense was terrific on the first drive. You just had those penalties, and you just beat one of the better overall teams in the NFL. You slowed their run. You ran on them. So many great things from that 49ers game. Tell me, is one of the most impressive things for you, Leslie, the fact you guys went from 11 penalties 1 week to one the next?
No doubt about it. I mean, we harped on, you know, what it means to go out and play clean football and not have to defeat the other team plus yourself. And for our guys to respond the way they did, credit to our coaches, credit to our players for handling the situation like we needed to.
The veteran officials are back. What do you think of that?
It's good for the game. It's good for our league. You know, as coaches, we don't have a whole lot of say about what happens with the officials, but Should be good for our game.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. And that interview with Coach Frazier was provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. When we return, offensive line coach Jeff Davidson joins Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
The color.
Vikings Live at Winter Park continues from the facility in Eden Prairie. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Minnesota Vikings offensive line coach Jeff Davidson. Jeff, Paul Allen, congratulations on the victory over the San Francisco 49ers. How have you been?
Well, I've been very good. I'm actually, a win like that does help us, but we also know we got to move on to the next one.
And mentally, you feel good into the Lions game, but physically, you feel great. You know, that chair at the Vikings Entertainment Network that you used to sit in last year, it'd get a little wobbly because of your weight, but you've lost so much weight, now we don't have to worry about the furniture.
That was funny. I just mentioned that when I was sitting down. I said I wasn't worried about breaking the chair any longer. So, yeah, it's I've lost quite a bit of weight. As a matter of fact, I'm at 121 pounds since last December now.
How'd you do it?
A diet. I actually had to have somebody else help me and tell me how to do it and what I was supposed to eat and how and all those things and go and do weigh-ins and... So I've taken it very seriously, and it works.
So you needed it's not that you needed a weight coach. You chose to have a weight coach. As a coach and a former NFL player, was it difficult to give in and accept help?
Well, you know, I think that I've been heavy for so long, and it's just been one of those things that over the years I kind of knew that I had to, and it's not like it was a big question mark as to whether I knew what to eat and how to eat and all that stuff. I already knew that I wasn't doing it right. It was pretty obvious, and it showed. So, you know, if I just kept doing it my own way, I knew what I would be long term. And essentially, my surgeon, I had my hip replaced, and spoke to me about wanting me to lose weight and be able to help my long term longevity on the hip and all those things. So, I took it serious and knew that I needed some coaching to be able to get that done.
From one man to another, you look great. I see you all the time. But the life of a coach, you know, you're working 80 to 100 hours a week at least. You have access to free food in the cafeteria, and it's really good. And you're sitting around a lot watching film. So, It can be easy to get out of shape, to get heavy, if you just sit around and graze, right?
There's no doubt. And I would say that was certainly what I did all the time. I mean, you got food laying around, and you got a chance to be able to walk past. And I didn't walk past too many meals. I mean, there's cookies and you name it, things out all the time. And really, I was certainly going to reach out and grab something when I walked past it before. Now I'm just choosing, and I've learned that I've got to be able to walk away from those things.
Jeff, in closing on this, if there are some people out there battling some weight issues and maybe they don't have the financial resources for a weight coach or anything, what are some pointers that you would give them to help change the quality of their lives?
You know, I know really two things. One is I really chose that... what I learned is portions are really important. I mean, you can change your eating habits and try to work out more, but the eating habits themselves and cutting down on the size of your portions was a big deal for me, and it was something that was really a life-changing event. And then also finding a little bit of time for yourself to be able to go and get a little workout in and understand, because I think that helped me teach me how important the decisions that I make to and what I'm going to eat and how important that is. It's everything that you do like that, I think it helps you in the long run.
To the Vikings and the Lions, and maybe a look back at the Niners here in a second, your son, Nick Davidson, played a part of the season for Eden Prairie's high school team last year before he got hurt. He committed to Stanford on a full ride. How's he doing out there? Is he enjoying himself?
Yeah, I mean, I get most of it, call it secondhand information, because my wife talks to him all the time. I don't get a chance to talk with him a whole lot, but... you know, sounds like he's enjoying his time out there, and great campus life. He's learning a lot from coaches, because I certainly was not going to coach him when he was growing up. And you know, essentially, I think he's kind of fitting in there, and I think he's got a chance to develop there, because they've got enough offensive linemen there to start with, and he's learning from a lot of those guys.
Why wouldn't you coach him when he was growing up?
I was his dad, not his coach. Yeah. Quite honestly, and I just decided a long time ago that I was going to. You know, my job was when I left the house, and when I'm at home, I'm not doing that part of my job anymore. My job at home was just to be a dad, and that was it.
That's excellent. Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. We hook the Detroit Lions this Sunday at noon. The overall offensive line play versus the 49ers. What did you guys do to neutralize and basically eliminate Justin Smith?
Well, you know, I would say that that list is very long. There were things that we had to do on every play, and our overall game plan was very much, that was what it was. We had to eliminate him on every play and know where he was, and so it's hard to go through every play and what we did, but we just have to understand that you got to find out who the guy is that's truly the heartbeat of the defense, and try to find a way to make sure you neutralize him. That's it.
Overall, the offensive line play versus the 49ers, I think, you know, I would imagine you thought was pretty good. But in talking to Center John Sullivan earlier in the week, he mentioned the running game. You go for 146, which is fantastic. He mentioned if just a couple of extra things had been done correctly, the running game could have been even bigger. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. That makes me happy that he actually paid attention to some of the meeting or the points that we made in the meeting room. But it's important that we learn from that. I think there were some things to take from the game that were positives. But it's important for those guys to also understand that we're always striving for perfection, and there are some things that we could have done better, and that's important that we dwell on those things as well to try to improve week to week.
Matt Khalil threw three games. Is he the kind of guy where when you put the game plan together, Jeff, where you can say, Kyle VandenBosch, this guy, that's your guy, then just move on?
You know, I think that we're getting closer to being able to do that. I think that defensive players in the NFL, though, I think they all demand a lot of respect, and guys like Kyle VandenBosch that has been playing in the league a long time, knows how to play. We have to understand that there's still things that you have to do to him to, again, like we talked about with Justin Smith last week,
yep,
you have to find a way to eliminate him from the play, and it's not always the one-on-ones. I don't think that anybody's good enough to always do that.
Yeah. The rookie from USC, Matt Khalil, in the preseason or right in front of training camp, Jeff, when he called his brother Ryan, the Pro Bowl center for the Panthers, and Ryan put him in touch with left tackle Jordan Gross, Do you find that helped? Did it help for training camp in the preseason, or did Jordan legitimately get him set up for his first season?
You know, I'm not so sure that I know everything that went on with that conversation. I'm sure there's a lot of conversations I don't know that I've got all the specifics on. But
yeah,
anything that you can possibly get from Jordan Gross, I would say, is good information. That's a great role model. I've been around the guy. I really respect his opinion and the things that he does. And so if Matt took anything from that, that's greatly appreciated on our part.
Jeff, the last time you and I had a conversation on this show, Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network, last year, Phil Loadholt, your right tackle, was playing inconsistently. And I brought that up to you. You cut me off and said, that's on me. And you mentioned a bunch of things, and you said that you kind of made it sound like it was a personal goal of yours to make it a project and make him better. Has it happened?
You know, the short answer is yes, he is better. I also have to say that I have to tell you that I take it personally with every guy that we have in our team, to be honest with you. And, you know, I think that is my job. We are supposed to strive to make our players better each day in every way that we can possible. And our players buy right into it, because essentially they have to understand what it is we're looking to try to do, and they have to be able to put forth the effort to do it, and Phil is certainly going to do that. It's what I appreciate the guy. He's smart, he's tough, and he's certainly looking for any coaching points we can give him, but he's done a lot and taken a lot of it on his own shoulders as well.
He's had his struggles in the past with left defensive end Cliff Averill. How do you fix it Sunday?
You know, I think that the biggest thing we talk with him about is using the techniques that have become better this year, things that he's been more consistent with the way that he leaves the line of scrimmage in his pass pro techniques and run techniques as well. So I essentially would just say that we want to continue with the improvement in the direction that we've gone and all the time that we've spent, and not allow Cliff Averill to really change his technique.
Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, Lions this weekend. Couple of quickies to close. You know, I sense that your offensive linemen, I call it the Minnesota Moving Company, but from Khalil to Johnson to Sullivan to Fusco over to Loadholt, I sense they really embrace the identity of being the only black and blue bruising running attack type team in a division where it's en vogue now to go shotgun five wide empty. Do you sense that they take pride in what some call a pass-happy league to be a run-first team?
Oh, I would say that they absolutely take that on their shoulders. I think our guys embrace that. I think from the head coach down, that's what we've decided we wanted to be about. And, you know, every day that we go out there, and we're quite honestly getting ready to go do it again here today, and we got to find a way to get better and be able to be a better team in with that style going forward.
Given the quarterback, Christian Ponder seems to know where the ball's going and has better recognition in his second year. How does that help the offensive line, Jeff?
Well, I mean, obviously the less time they got to hold their blocks, the better. And Christian, I mean, I know that there were some things made of the protection in this last week's game, but Christian Ponder did a great job himself of being able to get rid of the ball, even a couple of ones that you would say were throwaways because he had somebody that was unblocked, and I think that's something that he definitely helps us with as well.
I find myself pulling for Brandon Fusco, Division II guy in his second year. Got a chance to meet his family from Western Pennsylvania at Vikings training camp. I want to see Brandon do well at a high level. How close is he?
Well, he's and you know, I'm sure Brandon would be harder on himself than I will be. Essentially, you know, I think that each day he goes out there, he finds a way to get closer to that goal. I know that he's going to be one of those types of players, and again, we love him because he's smart, he's tough. He'll consistently strive to do better, and realistically, he'll tell you he's not near close enough to it, and I'll essentially buy into that also just because I know that he wants to be a great player.
Last one. Not many in your room want to win more than John Sullivan. Does John challenge you on things, not in a confrontational way, but what's it like working with John? He seems to be a bona fide leader, not only in your room, but overall with the team. But John has big opinions. He's very smart. What's it like working with him on a daily basis?
Well, I relish every day that I get a chance to work with him because I've grown to really enjoy working with him. I think he's a smart guy. And in that, I think he helps me as a coach to basically do things smarter myself because I think that he simplifies things for us. He and I have a lot of conversations on how to treat protections and runs, and we put the center really specifically in charge of a lot of things as far as mic identification and front identification.
Yep.
And he puts it all on his shoulders and without missing a beat. So essentially, you know, he is, like you said, he's the perfect guy to be able to do that. He encompasses all the leadership roles that we're really looking for in the offensive line meeting room.
Jeff, excellent job on the radio. Excellent job coaching the offensive line this year. And best of luck against the Lions, okay?
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Yep, no problem. Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. By the way, protect the football like the Minnesota Moving Company. The Minnesota Moving Company, offensive line for the Minnesota Vikings. They protect the quarterback. You protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Hello.
Vikings Live from Winter Park continues. I'm Paul Allen, joined by the longest-tenured Viking, defensive tackle Kevin Williams, 10th year from Oklahoma State, about ready to play the Detroit Lions for 20th, 21st time, something like that, right? You and center Dominic Raiola and you and the Lions have become very familiar foes, haven't you, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't think we need any film this week to go play these guys. It's, like you said, maybe my 21st time, and it's exciting. Going to see what they got. They made the playoffs last year, so we're hoping to get ourselves back going and get in the playoffs this year.
You enjoy divisional games more than non-divisional games, like you've had the Niners, the Colts, and Jacksonville. You like these games against Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay?
Yeah, because you know the team so well, and no matter what the record is, it's usually good games. I mean, we play each other fairly tough all the time, and you hear people say that the games count. That's two most of the time in your division. So you always want to get those and try to have a better division record.
Like center Dominic Raiola, you've played him a million times. So do you develop any kind of a relationship? I'm not going to ask if you're friends, but like when you see each other, hey, Dominic, hey, Kevin, You know, do you have a relationship like that, or is it always adversarial?
It's real cordial on the field. I mean, we know the dirty stuff he does, but I mean, usually after the game's over, it's pretty much, you know, have a good season. You know, we know what he's going to do.
Your former teammate Pat Williams used to say exactly the same thing. Dominic Raiola would bug the heck out of him. He would never share exactly what was happening. But you bring up Dominic Raiola back to the other half of the Williams wall, and he was frustrating Pat for a couple of years.
I mean, he's like a gnat. I mean, you know, you're always swatting and swinging at a gnat and trying to get it to leave you alone. When that same way during the game, I mean, you look up and he's coming and hitting you in the side or hitting you in the back. Never really head on. He always the second guy in with little crazy stuff.
You ever chat with Pat Williams, former defensive tackle for the Vikings?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time.
Nice.
We always talking about the college football season and what we need to do coming up this week. He throws in a couple pointers for me every now and then.
What about the starting guy next year, LaTroy Guyon? You know, we've seen LaTroy here all of his career, obviously. He blocked that field goal last week. He's getting a great opportunity to play a lot. How's he doing?
He's playing great. I mean, we had to tell him to slow down in practice. He's so excited and trying to get the look and get his job done. But I told him to save a little bit for the games. But he's doing remarkable, and he should help us out a lot this year.
Kevin, what kind of attention do you get on a snap-by-snap basis? Is it easier to double-team a tackle than it is to focus on, say, a defensive end with a tight end and a tackle?
Well, most teams feel that, you know, they pay the tackles the big money, so they can leave those guys one-on-one, and they double you inside quicker than they will on the outside because it's the easiest way to the quarterback is through the middle. So you get a lot of doubles inside, but don't pay much attention to it. You just try to play at this point in my career.
So it never gets frustrating? I mean, if you're doubled play after play after play, you're trying to get sacks, tackles for loss, help the team win, does it ever get frustrating? Or are you realizing that you're opening something for somebody else probably?
Yeah, you can look at it that way. But, I mean, you got to look at it as a sign of respect, too. I mean, if they think they can get you one-on-one, they'll leave the guy one-on-one. But most of the time it's quick pass. They don't do it too much on a lot of dropbacks.
Do you still enjoy the process? Do you still enjoy getting here early, the practice, the camaraderie, the games at this stage of your career?
Oh, definitely. The locker room is the best part of it, next to the games. I mean, you get to hang out with your teammates and hear all type of stories and prepare for the game, and then Sundays is your reward. So I don't know. You can't. I don't know when that's over. I don't know how you're going to feel.
You've seen so much with this team. You lose a couple of times in 2004, 34-31 to the Packers each time. Then you go to Lambeau Field. You beat them.
Yeah.
You've been through, obviously, the season in 2009 where you lost to the Cheaters in New Orleans. They eventually go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then the last couple of seasons, 9 total wins. So you've seen the highs and you've seen the lows. What are your feelings on this team? Is this a team that you think, if it stays consistent and gets hot, could make some memories?
Definitely. I think if we use the blueprint from the San Francisco game and how well everyone played across the board and realize that from the young guys, that if we play that way weekly, I mean, we can win some games this year, and we're on the right track right now. I mean, we have a couple wins already, and we just want to keep stacking up and at the end have one of those tickets when it's time to go to the dance.
And the secondary obviously is a little different than it was last year. You got Chris Cook back, Winfield's back, Josh Robinson had an interception. How does this defensive line and the secondary go hand in hand? Everson Griffin got the first sack for the defensive line in the Indianapolis game. Jared Allen subsequently had one last week. Hopefully you start piling them up here soon. But how are things working between the front four and protecting the secondary? You feel good about it?
Yeah, they did a great job last week, and we did also, trying to get around. When we didn't get there immediately, they were holding up in the back end and giving us a chance to get there and harass them, and vice versa. When we got there earlier, I mean, it helped those guys out. So we've been doing pretty good the last couple of weeks, but we just got to keep our situational stuff together and improve on that.
Kevin Williams is our guest, 10-year Viking from Oklahoma State. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park. Against the Niners, they averaged 167 rushing yards per game into the game, number one in the NFL. Frank Gore, decent game, but didn't exactly blow up or anything. Now you play the Lions. Mikel LeShore, the second-year guy from Illinois, carried it 26 times last week for 100 yards and a touchdown. Scott Linehan, you know him well. He used to be the offensive coordinator here. He doesn't mind running, but for one guy for the Lions to run that many times in a game, how did that happen? Like, what was the game shape like to lead to that?
I was kind of surprised to look at his stat sheet and see he had 26 carries, but they found something that was working for him last week, and they stuck with it. That's kind of what they do. I mean, they give you a run of plays, and whatever's working, they keep doing it over and over, and they were able to run it on Tennessee, and he ended up getting 26 carries and stacked up 100 yards.
In your preparation for this game, Matthew Stafford practiced today. Do you prepare for two quarterbacks, Matt Stafford and Sean Hill, or do you just prepare for the scheme?
You got to prepare for the scheme. I mean, you don't really know who's going to be in there, and they're both kind of two different type of quarterbacks. You know, Stafford, he's going to look for his primary guy, and Sean, he's going to step back and make his read and get the ball out. I mean, we've had trouble with him a couple times before, but whoever gets in there, we playing the scheme, and hopefully we can ID what's going on and get to him, make stuff happen.
Sean Hill, your former teammates, made a nice career for himself, hasn't he?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I remember Sean used to be the scout team quarterback when I came, and he's hung in there, made some plays for a couple teams, and he's a pretty good, decent quarterback.
Since you've been in the league, you guys rarely lost to the Lions. You've lost three in a row to the Lions. For guys like you and Antoine Winfield, you must look at the schedule, and you can't look at it anymore like, okay, well, there's going to be a victory. There's going to be a victory. They're definitely better. But does it bug you that you've lost three in a row to this team?
Oh, definitely. I told those guys a while back that I never lost to them, and now it's three in a row. So, I mean, they've definitely gotten better. They made the playoffs last year, and they're a good team. I mean, we're going to have to go out and have a good game today.
What kind of attention do you think you'll get from the interior of the Lions' defensive line? You think they'll be all over you? If so, can somebody else get free?
Oh, probably starting the game, we might get the center slide to me, but we'll see if Everson or LaTroy, whoever inside next to me, is having a good game. They might have to switch it up.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Kevin Williams, defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings in his 10th year. I'm Paul Allen. We close with an opposition update and a winning formula from Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com when we return to Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Point three. The Fan.
All righty, now let's put a close to Vikings Live at Winter Park. We thank Kevin Williams, Jeff Davidson, and Leslie Frazier for joining us. I'm Paul Allen, segueing to Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com, an opposition update. Also take a look at some winning formulas for the Vikings against the Lions this weekend. Good evening, Mr. Wabshaw.
Hey, Paul, it feels good to play these big games, doesn't it?
Absolutely. 2-1 versus the 1-2 Lions. Yep. They're trying to not lose three in a row. It's a banged-up Lions bunch, and the big news from today, at least for those who follow it closely, is defensive tackle Corey Williams. Wears 99, plays next to Ndamukong Suh. Now, Corey Williams had some type of surgical procedure done recently, like this week, so he's not going to play in the game. That's late developing news. It's big news.
I think it's a big deal. I think, you know, Ndamukong Suh 2 years ago was his rookie season. He played out of this world. Last year, I thought Corey Williams played as well as Sue did in the middle of that defense. I think you talk to offensive lines in the NFC North, guys who have played against Corey Williams on a consistent basis year in and year out, they're going to tell you how good he is. So the two things to this. It's a big loss for the Lions, and it hurts their depth. But the second thing is they have Nick Fairley, who's going to come in behind him and start.
Yep.
He was a first-round pick a couple seasons ago. He's going to play well.
Had a lot of off-the-field trouble.
He has. When he's on the field, though, he's good. So there's no reprieve here. This is still a good, talented Lions front four. They have seven sacks. Detroit has seven sacks total, all of them from the defensive line. So you have Vanden Bosch, who's going to come at you from the offense's left. You have Averill, who's going to come at you from the other side. And then you have those two defensive tackles coming up the middle. So it's a good group up front, and our offensive line is going to have a tall task at hand.
They're squared away injuries-wise with their linebackers. Justin Durant, I've always felt he was underrated, plays well against us. Stephen Tulloch, good run thumper in the middle. And DeAndre Levy to the outside of him. So they're okay there when they go to their 4-3 base. But then you get to the secondary that's allowing all these passing yards. Mm-hmm. And their best safety, Lewis Delmas, he's not going to play this weekend, replaced by John Wendling. And as we saw last year, Wabi, with all the Vikings injuries, when you have to start pulling backups to start, that means you're pulling them off certain phases of special teams.
Sure.
John Wendling, is one of the better special teams performers in the NFL over the last 4 years, and he led them in tackles last year. He'll play safety next to Eric Coleman. We should be able to do some over-the-top damage.
Yeah, it's a dilemma for a team, because now the question for you when you have to do that, and we've had to do that in the past. In fact, you look at Jamarcus Sanford, we might be dealing with that right now, is do you pull them off special teams completely so you can rest them to play defense?
Yep.
Now that hurts your special teams. Or do you play them both so you get their ability in both phases, but it's a little bit less in each phase? I mean, it's a dilemma for a team. Now, Delmas is a great run-stopping safety, and we've had success running the ball against Detroit with him on the field.
Yep.
So without him on the field, I really think that we're going to try and establish the run. That's what you want to do every week with Adrian Peterson, but it's especially applicable this week against Detroit. I think they're going to play a lot of cover two because Delmas is out. You can run against the cover two. We saw that 23-yard scramble by Christian Ponder. I think he can do a little bit more of that if he sees a lot of cover two. So this is a bit of a banged up Lions defense. Even in the second line, Lawrence Jackson is one of their defensive ends who has depth on the first level of the defense. He might not play. So if we can protect Ponder, give him a clean pocket, and have him be comfortable passing the ball, I think there's opportunities to take advantage of this Lions defense. That's on paper. It's one thing to see it on paper. It's another thing to do it. We always say that.
Yep.
But there are going to be opportunities for Christian Ponder to win downfield with Jerome Simpson, and then to win underneath with Percy and Kyle.
And Ponder was not sacked in the Niners game.
Yeah.
First time in his career Christian's ever been sacked.
Yeah.
He was sacked 30 times last year, been hit a few times through the first three. Speaking of the first three, after three games, the NFL generally has trends and mirages and tells off three games of film. Mm-hmm. It usually works in three-game patches. I think off three games, even from 2-1, and we kind of knew this coming into the season, but we've now seen it with the tight end, with Christian Ponder playing as efficiently as he is, with Percy Harvin, Kyle Rudolph, and Adrian Peterson, you have three legitimate upper echelon big time threats in your offense. So I know you talked a lot during training camp in the preseason about the Vikings offense being good. The Vikings offense looks really good. Then Adrian comes back. I think we're starting to see it now. They average 23 points a game, exactly what they scored against the 49ers. This is becoming quite the potent offense.
I think so, too. I don't think they're where they want to be right now, but I think they're getting there. And one thing I really noticed last week against San Francisco, we talked about it all week. We talked about it on this show. We talked about it on Vikings game plan, is how talented that San Francisco 49ers defense was. But the Vikings came in, and they were physical with them. They drove 16 plays and 82 yards on the first drive and go for it on fourth and goal from the one and score a touchdown. I mean, they really brought it to that front seven. Now, the Vikings averaged something like 4 and change rushing the ball per carry since they've drafted Adrian. Last week against San Francisco, it was somewhere around 3.5, which isn't as big, but they ran it 41 times. So they were productive enough, and they ran with enough frequency that it kept San Francisco off balance, and that really opened up the play action. Christian Ponder had a touchdown pass against play action. So I think if they can do that against Detroit, that's going to be the ticket to victory on offense, is if we can run the ball well enough and frequently enough to open up our play action passing game, because I think that Percy Harvin is good in the play action passing game here. I think Kyle Rudolph is always good when you can play action and find him singled up. And now you have 81 on the outside. If you can get a corner or a safety to bite on a play action, there goes Jerome down the sideline.
WobbyVikings.com. Speaking of Wobby, make sure you join yours truly and Paul Charchian tomorrow from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings and Savage. It's a Friday football feast. Mike Wobshaw is going to stop by at 10:15. He'll join the show for a couple of segments. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page. It's the Paul Allen show page at KFAN.com. Couple of minutes to go. Winning formula, Vikings defense versus Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, you got to manage him. I mean, this guy is, think about this. It's a playoff game. Detroit plays in a playoff game last year. What do you think New Orleans' first priority is defensively? I mean, it's stop Calvin Johnson, right? He had 200 receiving yards in a playoff game. So even if it's going to be your top priority every week, but sometimes you can't help it and he scores on you.
Yep.
So they got to manage him. And where I think he's the most dangerous, I watched Detroit's game back with Tennessee last week, and the one thing I noticed that they did differently is they put him in the slot.
Yep.
And when they do that, it's really effective, and they almost always throw it to him. And
we'll see that this week.
I think we will, too.
Because of the safety deal and the injuries.
Exactly. Yep. And, you know, we tend to play some zone defense. I know Leslie's wanted to play man-to-man a lot more, and we have done that.
Yep.
And I think we'll do that in this game. team, but if the Lions anticipate us playing zone defense, I think they'll put Calvin in the slot. What does that do? It puts pressure on Jasper Brinkley to drop quickly and stay with Calvin and force Stafford to put air underneath the ball so that our safety from over the top can come in and make a play either on the ball or hit Calvin as he's catching it to break up the pass. If our linebacker, though, doesn't drop quick enough, Stafford's going to fit the ball in there to Calvin Johnson. If he drops too quickly, and we always talk about you want to find a way to neutralize the defense, use their strengths against them. So if Jasper can get back quick enough and covers Calvin, you got to watch out for stuff underneath. So I think the key to this game defensively for fans who are able to watch the game, watch when Calvin is in the slot because that's a big moment. The Vikings have to defend that the right way. If they don't, I'm afraid Calvin will have the big game. But I think Jasper and Harrison Smith can handle it.
Excellent work, and I'll see you at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow.
Thanks, Paul.
That's Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Does an excellent job with the video and the written content at Vikings.com. And Wobby, again, will be at the Friday Football Feast with Paul Charchian and yours truly, Paul Allen. Buffalo Wild Wings Savage tomorrow. We would like to thank the producers of Vikings Live. They include Jay Nelson with the Vikings Entertainment Network and Joe Nelson with the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan. Also for Wobby and Tom West and Bob Hagan, John Ekstrom, Jeff Anderson, everybody with the media relations team here, we thank them for their assistance. And I'm Paul Allen. The Vikings and Lions do battle this Sunday from Ford Field at noon. And of course, you'll hear it on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.